Well, hello, welcome to this week's podcast. This weekend coming up is the Ascot Beer Festival, run in memory of Colin, camera member who set it up and passed away far too prematurely. It also combines with a couple of big racing festivals. So if you are at Ascot, go and see the guys at the camera bar and say hi. They work very hard. And started earlier this week getting all the beers set up. Our Merl project is coming to an end in terms of the beet box. That's the sugar beet growing project. They will be harvested next week. But the bed, we plan to keep all the sensors in the bed and look for a project for next year. So Merl, talking to various university and agricultural people, and see if there's some projects that would be able to take advantage of the sensors and maybe even extend them further. Plus, we want to do more work in terms of putting the information up available in the museum on the dashboard, etc. I have added the slideshow to the dashboard, and people can find out about what went on in the project via a QR code. On the bed itself, got the two lilies that I had planned. Well, I did a backup lily in acrylic, and then one in leather from Tara's workshop. It was very good to learn how to use the handheld machine, how to thread the bobbin, and it's a really useful tool, capable of stitching thick leather, canvas, and other heavy material that would normally break or bend a needle on a domestic machine. So I thank Tara for that, and those are two lilies, together with some others from other members. I know Tony Short had some that he 3D printed. They did a beautiful render in Fusion 360, more of which I'll come to later, and they were delivered to Reading Museum. The plan now is that a florist will review all of the different lilies. I think there's well over 30 or 40 of them, and form a presentation in honour of Oscar Wilde's 100th anniversary. The lily apparently being described as one of his flowers, and maybe I realised it was in connection with Lily Langtry, who was always seen as a great friend of Oscar's. And of course he has a great connection to Reading. The bouquet will be initially displayed in Haslam's window in Friar Street and then moved to a more permanent exhibition in Reading Museum itself. So, what's going on next week? Oh yeah, next week will be a Reading Geek, second Tuesday of the month. And at the end of the week will be Repair Cafe, but we have another week's podcast before then. So let's go into the Google group. So Oliver was asking about an experience with something called TagConnect, a way of doing programming connections onto a board. Those little pads that you see, like sort of six dots on a dice, and you connect to them to do the lower level programming if you don't have a programming interface, as we do on the Arduino and Microbit, for instance. A couple of suggestions came back. Richard was saying about using pogo pins and sockets, and Bob D came back and said some similar ones. But he said also be aware that you have to keep an area around of clearance for the size of some of these connectors. So it looks as though Oliver was going to go with the simple pogo pin homemade device that Richard was suggesting. That's one of the great things about things like Board Stupid, is that people's experience of building different boards, even those who have built quite a few, are often learning from each other. Of course, one of the old "what does RLAB do for me" quotes. Martin was asking about or the size of something that could be turned on a lathe. And the reason he was asking, and it's a thing that probably other people may think of or have a need for, I need to turn the cog off a bicycle chain wheel and the crank is still in place. And he wants to keep it in place. I'm not sure exactly what he's doing with turning it on the lathe, but it's obviously something involved. But it's to do with the length of the crank. And the replies come back saying it's not quite big enough. And the suggestions, could he remove the crank, which he says would be difficult. But also others have come back, like Scott and Arthur, offering to help out using tools that they have available outside the space. And again, that's another, what does our lab do for me? It's not only about the tools and bits and pieces that we have at the space itself, but the experience and also the tools and workshops that members have available, sometimes at work and they can use them, sometimes at home even. A good example being Andy, who has a comprehensive workshop available for him. Martin finishes up by saying, thanks for all the advice. I will rethink. I will check the blades at my work, because he works some way away now, having originally been down at the Arbuthnott Garrison Museum. Well, not museum, the engineering, teaching and training part of it. But I know he's an enthusiastic cyclist and quite regularly cycles from Reading to Bristol and back, and has a great interest in speeding up lightning bikes, by every gram being important for him, and being able to get the distance and speed and distance to time taken over distance down is one of his passions. And we talked about the Cobra Mill, and I posted up on behalf of a couple of people who were in when it was given a place on a bench, and I think it confirms it here. I'm really glad to see the Cobra Mill out on a surface. The other day I came in to make a very precise vertical hole in a small precision-made aluminium block. I achieved what I was able to do using the big drill press, but I'd forgotten about the Cobra. It would have been far better for the job. I like to use the lathe for more intricate jobs, but I can get much closer up on the Cobra and perhaps access it from a seated position. And I thought that's an interesting point, actually, the fact that it can be used from a seated position in a way that the lathe can't. So it's one of the great things about having all the extra bench space that has been made by Arthur Liam and others under the direction of Ian. Just one of the first stages of the refurbishment of downstairs. A lot of that hardware work has been done in terms of benching and tool storage. And the next one they're looking at is the electrics and the changes within the loading bay for welding purposes and dust management as well. So that will be stage two. And in an interesting double post, Jay, who I guess is a new member, I haven't met him before. I met him yesterday, you'll find out why shortly. He said, I helped to run Autodesk certification program and are heavily involved in driving the uptake of Fusion 360. We've been working a lot with Fab Labs, and I'm glad to see a site such as this in Reading. Currently renovating an old narrowboat, I want to 3D print and machine a lot of parts. So, separately, he says, I have a folding bike and the hinge bolt is broken off. It is hardened steel. Well, maybe he isn't a member yet, but he came along with this folding bike, and where the bolt had broken was against the steel. And he says the bolt is hardened steel, and the block also looks as it is. He posted a picture. He said there are two bolts, one from each end, and the top one snapped off. It seems to be that the bolts are sort of skewered somehow into the frame. Well, there were a number of suggestions about, I'm not sure where the aluminium came into play. I don't think the top of it's aluminium, but it was about dissolving the aluminium using a chemical called alum, which apparently gives off a lot of hydrogen, and hydrogen is explosive, so it's not so good. A hydrogen or sodium hydroxide will also dissolve it. And I'm not sure that was actually the main purpose, if it was a steel in steel. Anyway, Arthur said we have some cobalt drill bits, and they might be able to do it. And so there was some interest in both his involvement with Fusion 360, but also in obviously trying to help him out. And he came along yesterday afternoon, happened to be at the space because it was open Wednesday evening. I was into my bit of work before evening starts, so washing floors, etc. And Arthur was there, which was lucky, able to get on and start doing the removing of the bolt, which he was able to do. And it's amazing that it actually broke the way it is. If you look at the photo, a clean shear right next to the right next to its support bracket. And Arthur also posted a picture of how you might use the alum YouTube video, but there hasn't been an update here. Maybe it's later in the threads. Maybe there's a new thread about it. Otherwise, we'll indicate the success that Arthur had in getting out using the cobalt drill bit. So that was a success, and it was good to beat Jay as well. And Chris B posted up about some experience he had in creating boards, to inform the Board Stupid course. Because he said he hadn't managed to get along to any of the Board Stupid sessions, although he'd wanted to. But he said, I made a few classic basic mistakes on my submission, and I thought I'd share them to help others avoid the same. And that would be a good post to do a bit of curation in the Board Stupid PCB fabrication part of the wiki, which I copied some over last week. Jeremy says, yes, all good info. But the plan is to meet on the 10th of October to review and troubleshoot people's PCBs with a view to placing some orders. Now, the new bandsaw stop button was referred to in the post, saying that it took more pressure than we felt appropriate. Ian says here, talk to Axminster, who are the people who make the bandsaw, and they sent a replacement switch. It is better, but has more positive push than I would like. And they're looking at ways where it might be able to do a much lighter push on the switch for stopping it. I guess that's a watch that space. But in the meantime, note that it takes a very firm push to stop the machine. And a new toy in the space highlighted a stereo microscope, which should be helpful for people who are looking at very small components, but also people who are placing things, because the stereo element, the video microscope is very good, but it does only give you that one depth. You don't get a depth of sense of depth when you're working with very small components and tweezers, for example. But Pete was in looking at it yesterday for the open evening, and given that he really needs assistance with his sight, he found it a really good tool. So that's good news. We often get requests from people passing through Reading for help with various tools, and it's a difficult thing because there's not always people around who are qualified to use tools, and the space is for members, and that's been emphasised recently. And we had somebody coming through, an Australian who from Berlin, who was looking to do some business cards. I'd hoped I'd been able to, would have been able to help him, but I was just about to depart, and another member was busy using the laser cutter. Unfortunately, since then we'll come to it about the laser cutter not working, but I don't know whether anyone was able to help him over the weekend. There wasn't really an update on that, so I imagine he's headed off back to Berlin. A bit more notice, we could arrange something, so people are thinking of coming through and using, post up ahead of time rather than just turning up, because generally with a bit of notice people will make arrangements to turn up and help with various projects. It's part of what Hackspaces are about, after all. A similar sort of short notice request that was difficult to fulfill, and I don't think got. Ash said he's going away on Monday for a few days, and the ventilation fan in the bathroom become faulty. Seems to be a humidity sensor. And he quotes the part number, had anyone got one. I think most of the people were involved in various activities, including the TCT, the 3D printing exhibition up in Birmingham, where Alex had a stand and others were visiting. Meant that people weren't around to help Ash out on that one. And I guess if we have more of a listing of the stock that's in, not only in the space, but other people have available, then those such queries could be directed to the person more quickly. And Yale, who I guess is another new member, so welcome, Yale. I'll have made an appearance in my MGB video, the MGB being the famous sports car. And he posts a link to quite a long video on YouTube, basically talking about his experience quite a production of a video with lots of annotations and things to read, so you'll have to have a look through it yourself. But some of his activities involved using the laser at the space, and he's featured doing that. I've added it to my R-Lab YouTube channel, if people follow that. And the sign, and people may notice if you've been to space recently that the sign is not on up on the wall anymore, but down on the ground. It didn't fall down, but was taken down by Ian, as they said it was looking a bit dangerous and scruffy. It was some great work by Sylvan, who put it together very rapidly all on his own, and a great huge thing. Hope to see Sylvan back involved with the space, and wish him well. Looking for suggestions for a replacement. To make it in Fomex is the industry standard and good for weathering, apparently. But we do have sign makers around Reading, so if people make contact with those, then that may help. The Fomex budget, apparently, about £75. So we're now into October, and it's noticeably cooler, and coming up for a full moon this week. What they call the Hunter's Moon, low and long over the evening sky. And remember Chris B said, I got chatted to a few people the other week at our lab, and it was mentioned there's a guy who loves messing around with high voltage and Tesla coils. I can't remember his name. I was hoping to build an ion lifter at some point, and he puts a link to a Wikipedia and a YouTube about something around the project. He said, I need some help setting up the appropriate voltage. And Steve Rodway waves and says, that would be me. I'm away from Reading at the moment. Catch up shortly. And so that's a plan again. Another in the what does our lab do for me front. And of course, we all think back to the other Bob, who was well into high voltage things, and he's seriously missed. And I mentioned last week about a delivery of goodies from RS. And these included a couple of 3D printers, some Raspberry Pis, and some other sample kits of things like various types of Ethernet connectivity, which is interesting. Actually, it was connectivity box, a sample box and kit showing how you use Ethernet in a industrial situation with different types of connections. That was informative in itself. So it prompted a bit of discussion about the plans for the new 3D printer that's been talked about over the last year. Having just come back from that 3D print show, Tony says, my view, the Prusa M3, when it becomes available in November, would be a good one. And depending on how that goes, a resin printer a few months after. So new tools in the small machine area to be looked forward to. And I mentioned about the lilies and that, because I spotted a post from the previous week when I did the podcast last week. Well, I asked Celia, who's a member of the Arts Guild in Reading, a very active but a different group of people, and they work a lot around Jelly, the organisation that helps arts craft in Reading. A lot of the discussions had been done on Facebook, so I missed out on those, but Celia was good enough to pass on the information, as it was a private group on Facebook, so couldn't get access to it publicly. And here they are, dustman arriving now. I need to remind myself, she says. Oh, yes, so basically, so the information came through, and I was able to get together with Tara and learn about the leather sewing, or patcher machine, as it's called, which is a hand-turned machine. There is also an electric one, but it's quite a speedy, fierce one, and better for longer, straighter type cuts than the way I was having to do the stamens and things on my lily. Well, it also inspired Tony to produce one, and we delivered those on Tuesday to the Reading Museum, and as I mentioned earlier, they're going to be set up in a big bouquet to celebrate Oscar's 100th anniversary of his death. So I posted some pictures of my lily, and Tony posted up a render of his in Fusion 360, but also the print afterwards. Quite different styles, mine being in heat manipulated acrylic and black leather with a bamboo stalk. Although it's difficult to see the leather sort of side of it in the picture. Perhaps add some extra notes about that, and we'll be interested to see. There were some lovely creations being delivered by the artists, and certainly put mine into the shade, but a combination of all different sizes, and I think they represent the sort of things, the range of things that can be done at our lab, and that was my purpose of that contribution. So I mentioned that the laser cutter was not working, and Tony posted on the 2nd of October, seemed that one of the power supplies in the large laser cutter has died. Mark takes the opportunity quite correctly to say, maybe a good time to remind people that we have another laser cutter. As long as your workpiece is less than 300 by 200 millimetres and you don't mind a somewhat bigger kerf, in other words, the beam cutting width, and more annoying software, it will actually cut acrylic and other materials. And actually, when we used it originally, we found it was actually did a better engraving. Downside was that you couldn't cut and engrave in one operation. You had to do it in two separate operations, which gave sometimes some alignment issues because you need to make sure you started from the same point. But on the other hand, it was our first laser cutter and was used very heavily at the beginning. And then there's been discussion recently about the value of having a second one. I think this sort of period, this sort of time, it maybe is useful to have a backup, but how useful is I think still being debated. But it also raised a couple of points about looking for replacement power supplies. Richard pointed to one in an RS that looks suitable. The one that was in there is only really available from Chinese companies on Chinese websites with Chinese language, and so it was very difficult to work out exactly what the spec was. Hadn't found a direct source, but of Piranha are available for purchase of such things was a suggestion. But the point that comes out of the thread, which is probably useful for other people, is that Tom says the supply on the RS one has a warning on it that says it needs a minimum of 10 watts on both 5 and 24 volt rails, and that's to draw a minimum current. Steve comes in and contributes, I'd expect a decent power supply like that to shut down before it goes far enough out of range to damage stuff. And I guess that's the issue, that if you don't draw enough current, then the voltage may not be regulated properly. And suggests that you might be able to put some power resistors across the rails, but obviously they generate a lot of heat and use power unnecessarily, so that would only be a temporary solution, as he suggests. And Eric chips in saying some of the components burn out if used without a load. That's possibly in the power supply itself. Anyway, the power supply was being worked on and hopefully will be back in action in quick time. And pinging a thread that was from August, where there was a lot of discussion about a replacement car for Faye, gives an update saying, time for some more news and questions. Now, I've bought a car being shipped from Japan. Should be here by the end of November. The tyres need replacing. I'm looking for some recommendations. So if you're, I guess part of it is what type of activities, because we're coming into the winter now, so winter tyres might be, but is Faye going to be doing hill climbing, off-roading? I doubt it in this vehicle, but the tyre choice may be dependent on that. So if you've got suggestions, if you know of a good source of tyres at a good price, then look at posting up on the resurrected thread entitled Request Car WAV Advice and Expertise. So down to our last few posts for this week. And I was interested in having a bandsaw induction, but I did the leather workshop instead. I need to have something to go through and do some cutting and be able to concentrate on that separately. But the good news is that there's three people are now got training. So basic training takes about 15 minutes and advanced about 45-ish. Ian, Luke and Arthur can all induct, and so grab one of them if they're around and ask them to arrange at a time. So 15 minutes, quite reasonable, but obviously you need to be in the right frame of mind, or at least I do. And a request for some 3D printer inductions. Alex saying, hope to run one next week, possibly Monday. So that will be this coming, up and coming Monday. Check out the thread, 3D printer induction, if you want to join in. Several people doing just that. So that's all the news from Writing Hack Space this week. Over on TV Rug, we had a bit of news about a project that was going to go on at, well, it will go on, Reading Museum Lates on the 26th of October. They did ask if we wanted to get involved with doing something, but I think they've haven't really organised things that would be suitable for either the 3D printing or other RLAB activities to be directly part of. So they're still working out how to run the evening, and it seems likely that there will be something similar being run in February, and that will give us a bit more time to get those sort of projects structured. But also, come March, April, May time, they're going to be running another bigger workshop. Malcolm had posted up about activities that he and David are doing down in East Berkshire in some of the libraries. So on the 3D side, printing side, if you haven't checked out, look at the Thames Valley RepRap user group forum, and you can find links to that at tvrug.org.uk, which is the Thames Valley RepRap user group website. So that's all for this week. So this is Mike the Bee signing off.